Shabbat Shalom. Oh. Thank you. Is that your hubby's? Yeah, we're family, we're sure. Okay, thanks.
Neither of you share, so.
I know. Once again, we start at the beginning. In the beginning, this time around, I chose chapter 3. So open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." Now let's just stop here for a second. In the previous chapter, we see God telling Adam, before even Eve was even created, not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that's just planted in the middle of the garden. Now, unless I'm mistaken, we don't know if God directly told Eve not to eat from the tree. He may have. Or did Adam tell his wife? Did Adam add to this command? The point is, God's command got added to. God didn't say anything about touching it. And Satan uses that directly. And he challenges the word of God. He always does. He still does today. Did God really say that? Didn't man write the Bible? How do you know it's the word of God? Doesn't it contain all sorts of errors? Those are the questions that we have even today. Satan himself used Scripture when tempting Yeshua. So he knows Scripture. He just takes it and twists it and takes it out of context and uses it for his, for what he wants to do with it. So the serpent says to the woman, "You will certainly not die. For God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her. Underline that in your Bible. Circle it. Put little stars by it. Who was with her, and he ate it. It's almost like in the New Testament, we see Rashul standing as they're stoning Stephen, giving his approval. He's there, he's aware of the conversation, he's aware of what's going on, and he approved of it. Adam is here, he's seeing the conversation, he's approving of what's going on, and he doesn't do anything. Except takes from his wife and eats. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Okay, the tragic consequences of temptation in the fall were nothing less than universal sinfulness of all humanity. We know that. The New Testament clearly states that the woman was deceived, whereas the man was not deceived, but both transgressed. He approved of what was going on. He wasn't deceived, he just went along with it. You can read about that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, that woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree and I ate it. Okay, here's the blame game. Here we go. We are going to start pointing fingers. That woman which you gave me, Adam tries blaming God. Then God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Kind of reminds me of, I don't know, maybe I'll date myself. The comedian, you know, Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. Kind of always passing the blame along. The serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl in your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. To the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food, until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you will return. Here is where God declares their death sentence because of sin. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and also take from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Several things pop out here. We all know the price for sin. And here God declares it. But I have to wonder, where did God get the garments? Where did God get the skins? He could have very well just created them out of thin air. But I think, and I believe, that God sacrificed animals for these skins, showing what the payment is for the sin, thereby setting forth the sacrificial system. And as we see in Leviticus, blood must be shed to cover sin. In reading this, this also seems to imply that Adam and Eve could have eaten from the tree of life after they sinned to live forever in this sinful state. That would have been unfortunate. God had a better plan in place, one of redemption in Yeshua, with a new heavens and new earth eventually that would not be cursed. In all my years in ministry, I've come to one conclusion. Sometimes Christians are funny creatures. You know? The reason I say that is I had this lady tell me once, when I get to heaven, I'm going to find Adam and I'm going to give him what for? I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. And she goes on to tell me, oh, he's going to be easy to find. He's going to be the guy without the belly button. I was like, wait a minute. Now we're putting God in a box. How do we know God didn't give Adam a belly button? He may have. He may not have. You know, but more importantly, what makes you think you wouldn't have done the same thing? And that's where we trip up. But you know something about our God? In all the history of the world, up to the point where you came along, if you were the only one that sinned in all the history, God would still send his son just for you. Amen. Just for you. That's how much God loves you. Don't put God in a box. And I've said it before, too. I mean, God can make anything he wants. When he created Adam, how old was Adam? One day, right? Well, did he look one day old, or did he look like a, probably like a 20-year-old? I don't know. God can make anything he wants. He makes a lot of things with an appearance of age, you know. Appearance of age. Sure, and give him a belly button. Why not? God has a sense of humor. I just find it funny. Some of the things we Christians come up with, you know, I'm going to give Adam a piece of my mind. Well, be careful of that. So what can we take away from this? What lessons can we learn? Understand that your flesh is weak. Even if your spirit is willing, our flesh is weak. Know God's word. Guard what your eyes are allowed to see. Your flesh will always be attracted towards the hope of immediate gratification with little regard for future consequences. I can't emphasize it more. Know the word of God. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. Don't take it out of context. Use it the way it was designed to be used. Read your Bible. Understand the enemy will always question God's motives. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt God. Never say, God is tempting me. You can cross-reference that over into James 1, verses 12 to 17. And when confronted by God, own up to it. Don't sow fig leaves. Don't make excuses. Don't try to cover it up. Take responsibility for your own actions. Adam and Eve didn't do that. But the most important lesson I see here is spiritual headship. Adam did not exercise his responsibility. We men sometimes do the same thing. Sometimes it's easier just to shirk our responsibilities and blame others for our spiritual condition of our homes. Guess who God is going to hold accountable? Not your wife, not your kids, you. Shabbat Shalom.